morning and welcome back to Young Bucks, your Pittsburgh Pirates prospect podcast here on DK Sports Radio. My name is Alex Stone. Jared Krueger, I'm looking through the Zoom call right now. Jared, how's it going, man?
You didn't say podcast of choice, Alex.
I didn't?
No.
I'm just winging it. I just did the whole game. We're recording this Thursday night after the game.
Right. So both of us had games today. Shout out to my Altoona Area Junior High School. This is going to sound terrible the way that things aren't right now. Our white baseball team. I promise you that we are a diverse organization, diverse team. We had a come from behind victory. We have two wins on the season, one tie. And that's more than the Pirates can say. Although their prospects remain undefeated.
No, you can't transition your way out of that one. You guys might need to workshop that name. What colors are you guys?
We have maroon and we have white. We're the white team and they are the maroon team.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that out, but yeah. It was the way you presented that, I think, more than anything.
No matter how I present it, it's going to sound terrible. Yes. Much like Pirates have played this season.
All right. We'll transition into something else for you here. Jared and I, we were talking before we got this episode going, and so much about – everyone knows the 2021 Major League Pittsburgh Pirates are not going to be a particularly good bunch. There's going to be a lot of focus on the minor leagues in the future and the player development going forward, but it's also a lot of eggs that the Pirates are putting into that player development, and it's something that I've said this multiple times. The last regime's problem wasn't scouting. We wouldn't be talking about Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows, Charlie Morton, all those guys, if they had just terrible scouts. It was the player development. So, Jared, my question for you is, how confident are you that this player development is going to be better under Cherington and Baker?
Well, I think I'm kind of right down the middle, because you look at it and some of these guys, you talked about Glasnow, you talk about the development coming up through the system. Tyler Glasnow might be one of the more dominant pitchers that minor league baseball has seen at the double A level, especially. So I hope that the biggest thing that they need to do is just continue to build their confidence. Not because, let's be real, if you're getting to that level, you've got the stuff, man. You've got everything that you need. You've got to go out and perform, and you've got to have that confidence and that kind of swagger about you every day. Every time you toe that rubber, you see that now with Mitch Keller, right? The confidence, the authority that he used to command in double A, you've seen him pitch and be dominant at the double A level. I saw him pitch and be dominant at the double A level. Now you look at the big club. It's not the same by any means. So you hope that they can build that up. I mean, from what it seems, I have not been to Bradenton. You've been there obviously more than I have over the last two seasons, but they're doing what it takes. You have the pitcher's facility where they're integrating technology, where they're working on spin rates. They're working on those sorts of things, which I think is great. I think that's huge in the long run, but you've got to keep progressing. You've got to get those guys to the level. And yeah, the physical aspect of it, you can work on spin rate all you want. You can work on pitch tunneling, which you'd be proud of me. I worked on pitch tunneling the other day with some of my pitchers at the middle school level. So I'm coming for you, but no. So to me, you've got to do that, but it's also the mental game of baseball too. And I know that the old regime was weird with some of the mental games that they played, in the system, good, bad, and different, but you've got to take care of the mental game too. And if this regime is able to do that, I think the Pirates are in good shape.
Yeah. And I mean, just because you brought up Keller and Glasnow, I'm not saying you're comparing the two, but we did see, you know, Keller in double A. We saw, not saying that this kid ever had like a ton of swagger or anything, but he definitely pitched with more confidence. It's never been as bad as what happened to Glasnow in like 2017, where he was just a broken man.
Nothing but will ever be that bad.
Every time you talk to him post game, it looked like right beforehand someone told him, "Hey, your dog died." Like, that was a broken man pitching. Keller is not at that point yet. But yes, I agree, the mental part is going to be part of it. I think that's what's nice about hiring John Baker to be the director of player and coaching development, because that was his gig with the Cubs. He was the mental skills coach. And I've talked to Bernie Holiday a couple times. He's a good guy to have in that regard too. Yes, there has to be mental development also in that. But I think it really is going to come down to physical, mechanical. That's going to be the most important aspect of it. And I got to talk to Brian Esposito earlier this month, or I guess I should say last month, because it was technically in March. I talked to him a little before my Hayes feature ran. And I asked him, because Espo is one of the few people who was liked by the old regime and liked by the current regime. And I said, "What do you see that's different between the two?" And he's like, "I'm seeing people actually, you know, want more impact or input, you know, make it more collaborative." And I think that's, to me, the biggest thing between why I have so much more faith in this go around with the player development. Not to say because they realize they don't have all the answers. There's going to be input that minor league coaches have, that players have, that people who are auxiliary to the players, like trainers and, you know, other coaches, you know, places at facilities that they work out at. I think that is going to be the biggest difference between player development now and player development later. And we're not going to have this Tyler Glasnow needs to throw sinkers because everyone else has to throw a sinker.
Well, and that's the other thing too, man. I think the biggest thing that this regime is doing is it's allowing everybody to be themselves. You are different than I am, right? We have different writing styles. We have different conversation styles. We have different everything. So for you to come in and try to pretend like you're me or vice versa isn't fair to us. So when you come in and you look at guys like, and I know this is a Prospect Speak podcast, but you look at guys like a Chris Archer or guys like Tyler Glasnow, here, cool, that you want to work on different things that are out of their comfort zones. Obviously, the success isn't going to be there as much as you would like. So letting these guys be individuals, yet still pitching to their plan and pitching and having that individualized plan and performance, I think is huge, because everybody pitches differently. No two people are the same. And that's not just baseball, that's life. So you have to be able to kind of maximize your strengths. Like, Alex, you could very well go out there and throw the best knuckleball ever. I could come back in and throw a nasty like backside slider or backdoor curveball. But to force me to throw a knuckleball, I could probably look like an idiot. And the same thing for you, because I would like to see you throw left-handed. I think that'd be kind of entertaining. But that's for another podcast.
I'd be horrible. Horrible.
Well, listen, I made it this
far. I'm not so great right-handed either.
Well, there's that too. That's why he's got carpal tunnel. But that's the thing. You have to be able to individualize things. And when you're able to individualize things, that's going to bode well for you moving forward, because now you're not pitching to the same thing. You're not pitching to get ground balls. You're pitching because you have confidence in yourself and your ability. And when you go out and you toe that rubber, no matter what level you're at, from little league to whatever, and you have that confidence, you have that swagger, that is huge. And honestly, it might be even bigger than the physical aspect of the sport.
I do appreciate that you gave me a little love, my knuckleball, a little bit of love. I used to have a pretty good one in little league days.
I just wanted to save your fingertips to type.
Okay. We'll go with that. Hey, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, Jared and I are going to talk about what excites us more about this farm system going forward. Pitchers or the hitters? Yeah. And we're back here to Young Bucks, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. There you go. I did that just for you, Jared.
I'm so happy you entered the second segment like that. I was seriously going to have to drive to Pittsburgh, not tonight or maybe not tomorrow, but really going to get you for that one. But I'm just so glad that you did. So, Alex, I mean, we've talked about different prospects. We talked about the development of them. But what excites you the most, really, about what we've got in the farm system, so what we can have potentially in this farm system this year?
See, I'm just going to go with what's in the farm system right now. I'm not even going to talk about Rocker or Leiter, you know, potentially being in this mix also.
But it's so much fun to talk about those guys.
I know there's so much
time. Hypotheticals are so great because even if they don't happen, it's still cool to talk about them. Right? That's what's cool about it.
Yeah. We've got months until then. I'm sure we're going to talk about them, but just the people who are quite literally in the farm system right now, I'm still more excited for the pitching than the hitting. And that's not, I'm down on the hitting, but I look at these arms and I look at someone like Brendan Malone, who has a good developing breaking ball. He can touch 100 on the heater. You know, this is a guy who was a first round draft pick, you know, a lot of promising stuff. And then you look at it, it's like, this guy theoretically might not have a spot in the rotation because there are so many other good pitching prospects available. There's Priester, there's Majinski, there's whatever happens to Thomas, what happens to Bolton, what happens to all these guys. Like, it's a deep, deep system. I had to, like, find a way to get Michael Burrows, a guy who I really like, who just gets a ton of spin and movement, find a way to squeak him on 10th whenever we did our top 10 pitchers and hitters list. Like, okay, this is my 10th best pitcher right now.
I'm excited, and it's, this is weird, of course. You know, last week we kind of agreed on certain things, but now we're back. I want to see the hitters, because to replicate live at bats might be the single hardest thing to do in a practice atmosphere than you would think, because think about it. You're when you're practicing, and even if you're throwing live, even if you're throwing a live BP session on the field, whether it's at Pirate City, whether it's at the alternate site or wherever, those pitchers are throwing behind an L screen. So you're seeing the ball a little differently out of their hand. You're still seeing it out of their hand and you're seeing it live, but it's so much different because just the visuals are a little different, right? The background's a little different. But these guys haven't faced live pitching in a game outside of spring training since last year. And so now that the minor league spring training has gotten underway, I want to see how they adjust to that, because as a hitter, getting your timing down is super hard in a normal situation, right? So getting and being able to kind of adjust to not seeing that, and let's not kid ourselves. Some of these situations that these kids and these guys had in the offseason last year and all season really, was not ideal. You're not at Pirate City all the time. You're not at your home stadium or your team stadium. You're at local high schools. You're at local adult league fields. You're at local fields in general. And that in itself, if you're blessed to be at the alternate site, that's great. But like, if you're not, man, you have to scramble to really get some quality work in. And that makes that even harder. As a hitter, especially as a pitcher, I can go find anybody. Well, I can go find anybody who can handle me. I throw 75 to 80, but these guys that throw 95, 96, you have to find somebody that's able to throw, or somebody that's able to handle that. As a hitter, man, you're not going to get those types of situations, those types of reps in your hometown more than likely.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that second point, because you brought up the L screen, and that is true. You are getting it at a different angle. It's leaving the hand a little different. But more importantly, you're just not facing, comparable stuff. You're not facing, anything in the 90s or stuff with break. You just can't find guys like that. So that's what really matters there. I'll agree that the hitters, this is going to be a more telling year for them, because pitchers, it's easier to, hey, I found a mound. I can send bullpens to a pitching coach in the organization, you know, and do work that way. But this is an organization that whenever they were good from 2013 and 2015, it was led by the pitching. And it's tough to do anything right now if you're not led by pitching. And there are legitimate prospects here, enough legitimate prospects that if some of them don't hit or are only relievers, they have some depth, especially once they add that lighter or rocker into the mix also. So it kind of reminds me of like what the Mets rotation was supposed to be in like 2015, 2016, whenever they had all those crazy young arms.
Oh man, that's a really good comparison.
Yeah, and I know that it didn't end up in a World Series, but you know, if there are five people that you really couldn't blame, it was, you know, DeGrom, Wheeler, Syndergaard, Mats, and why can I not think of the other one?
Was Harvey on that staff?
Harvey, thank you. Harvey just kind of crapped out though.
Well, yeah. Well, there are a lot more issues in the Mets organization back then.
Mets are a mess forever.
The Metropolitans, you can't spell mess without Metropolitans. But no, that's the thing too. Or text message. That's a story for another day. But you know, you look at it, hitting a baseball, and I tell this to my players all the time, right? Hitting a baseball is the hardest thing you can do. Because you have to hit a round ball with a round object and you have to hit it square. And if you don't, you know, hitters, man, pitchers will always have the advantage, because if you're out there and you're commanding your stuff, it's almost impossible to hit. The pitchers have all the advantage here. So I want to see how these hitters develop and how they've kind of, and I'm excited to get on site with some of these guys, because I want to see how they handled it, because there's only so much T work. There's only so much soft toss, front toss, so many different drills that you can do that simulate game speed or simulate game at bats. But at the end of the day, it's just not the same. It's just not at all the same. So I'm very interested to see, you know, when they break camp and they go to their sites and they go to Greensboro, Bradenton, Altoona, Indy, wherever, how they handled it. Because that to me is going to tell you how much, number one, a guy wants to be there and how much they want to grow and continue up the ladder, but also like how good a player really is. I'm very interested to see how this kind of plays out, because to me, this could be a very pitcher dominant, pitcher inflated start to the season. And I think that could skew a lot of different things.
I guess just to wrap up, one more point that I want to get your input on. I agree that this is probably going to be pitcher skewed, at least early on. So not saying that you ever put too much stock in minor league at bats, or not minor league at bats, minor league stats for either hitters or pitchers. But with this, do you have to take even less into account for hitters? Whenever it's like, look, we know you haven't faced live pitching in 18 months. It's okay that you're not catching up to a Brendan Malone fastball or Quentin Priester curveball right out of the gate. Let's just try to get better swings, better at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me, what I want to see out of hitters is quality at-bats. So if you're going up and you're into 1-2, 2-2, 0-2 counts, and you're striking out, you're grounding into the dirt, and 1-2, 3 or 4 pitches, 5 pitches, that's less than ideal. I want to go up and see the quality of the bat, because that's going to tell you a little bit more about where you're at as a hitter. To me, at least, I want to keep pivoting back to coaching, because as a coach, you want to see quality at bats. You don't want to see a guy go up there and swing and miss 3 times or go up there looking. So you, if to me, when you see a quality at bat and you see, maybe even you look at foul balls and whether they're yanked or whether they're pulled or whether they're popped up, you know, you can learn about, you can learn from a hitter for every swing. So you're looking at their feet, their hands, everything. But to me, the quality of bats are really the stat that I want to see be there. Because for me, if I'm a quality at bat, I'm getting 6 pitches, 7 pitches, maybe even 8 pitches in that bat. And when that happens, you're seeing more pitches, but you're also getting that pitcher up there in pitch count. Because I would imagine that there's going to be a limit on a lot of these pitchers as they break camp, as they build and gear up for the rest of the season. So to me, if a hitter can come out and have a quality at bat, not necessarily barreling the ball up, but having a good quality at bat, putting the ball in play, I think that's going to be a great indicator of what they're going to be able to do moving forward.
Hey, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Welcome back to Young Bucks, the Alex Stump podcast of choice for prospects in the Pittsburgh organization. I want to start this segment off by apologizing. Last week, I spoke of Cabrian Hayes' injury history. Alex Stump talked of his rookie status. Man, I am just so sorry that I jinxed Cabrian Hayes. Obviously, he goes hurt no sooner than a few hours after this podcast was released. And I take full ownership of that. If you want to ban me from PNC Park for the next few weeks, maybe even a couple months, that's fine with me. However, I take full ownership of jinxing Cabrian Hayes and jeopardizing anything that comes of him and his swings. But that is what I learned this week, Alex. How about you?
I had the similar thought of we shouldn't ever say that a prospect is going to get enough plate appearances or innings pitched to graduate that week. We're not doing that ever again. Tough lesson. Key was given a slight wrist injury on, you know, as punishment to us. The other thing I learned this week that I didn't like, and he's a friend to both Jaren and mine, and he was on this radio station for a long time, so we just got to give a quick shout out to our buddy Noah Hiles, who is battling COVID right now. He's going to kick its butt, but, you know, just – I know a lot of people liked him. Just spread the word there. He's going to kick butt there. Don't worry about it, but it's just so everyone has him in their minds.
Right, and
the guy – sends me a Snapchat of his hospital room. And he's like, you know, if it wasn't for the pandemic, this would be really nice. He's showing me all the amenities like he's a realtor.
That's great. No, and
are you glass half bullying? Hey, I've been hospitalized.
So that's funny, Alex. You're the only one on this show or a friend of the show that really hasn't been hospitalized, because I was in the emergency room a couple weeks ago for my leg. Noah, obviously with COVID, and we wish him all the best. Noah's a great friend of both of ours, but you know, everything that Noah was able to do, for us, I know he's been a huge help, for me. So we wish all the best to Noah, in his recovery, and hopefully maybe there's some David Busters, in his future. But Alex, you need to wrap yourself in a bubble, man. Everybody that kind of you're associated with on podcasts has been injured. So maybe you're the black cat of the organization.
Yeah.
Or the goat, or the.
Oh, I'm the goat. That's how we're ending this.
You're a goat, not the goat. There's a difference.
I'm the goat.
All right. So Billy Goat, three Billy Goats Gruff. This has been the Young Bucks podcast on DK Sports Radio. For your host, Alex Stump, this has been Jared Pregar. We thank you, as always, for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we wish you all the best. We'll catch you next week.